When my mom told me she was planning to move her meth head boyfriend in with us, well, to say that I was pissed would be an understatement. I told her absolutely not and put my foot down. It was either him or me. Our relationship had been on a rocky terrain ever since Dad died, and I spent the following years in and out of juvie for delinquent behavior. So, unsurprisingly, she chose him. She said it was her house, and if I didn't like it, I should move out. And I did. The apartment hunting process was a complete nightmare. My mom's house was on the outskirts of the Wicker Park, but I quickly found out that my crappy retail job didn't pay enough for me to be near the area. I got word from a friend of a friend about a vacancy in the building where her cousin lived, in Englewood, of all places, and it was supposedly fully furnished. The area was sketchy, to say the least. Not that my previous neighborhood was a dream of suburbia, but I knew where I should and shouldn't go and who not to mess with. The prospect of having to learn that all over again was extremely exhausting. The placement of the apartment inside the building was very odd, too. After getting out of the elevator and walking through the main apartment hall, there was a narrow passageway at the end that led to two other doors, apartments 26 and 27. It felt a little like walking into an escape room type of scenario. Only worse, because I was supposed to live there. At least the landlord was nice enough, with strong grandfather vibes, despite not looking like he was old enough to be one. He said, "I was lucky because that was the last unit available." Well, I wasn't sure if lucky was how I felt. More like desperately out of options. The inside of the apartment was bleak. The walls were of a faded gray color, or perhaps just extremely dirty white walls. It was open concept in that it had four walls and not a single division for anything. Well, at least it came with a small built-in closet. One of the other walls, however, was decorated with a painting, the only speck of color in the whole place. Mr. Williams must have noticed me looking because he said, "Oh, the previous tenant left this behind. She was a troubled young woman. Very troubled, but very talented, too. She actually painted that." "She was a painter?" I asked.
Not professionally, I don't think so. Well, I'm ashamed to say that I still don't know much about her. And no one came to collect her things after. That's why..."
"Right, that was where the furniture came from. She left it behind. What happened to her?" He made a vaguely distant hand gesture.
"Well, all we know is that she went missing. Just puff. Never seen or heard from again."
He continued on by giving me some very alarming information about the crimes that happened in the area, and that I absolutely should check all the windows every single day, especially the one that led to the fire escape. I couldn't do anything that first night aside from staring at the window waiting for an unknown creep to try and snatch me away from bed. The bed that belonged to a woman who was probably dead. 2 weeks in, I was pretty much used to the place and the surroundings. What I could not get used to were the weird noises I heard on a nightly basis. It sounded like a whispered singing mixed with alternating cries. Just so fucking creepy. And the smell. Sometimes at night I would wake up to the smell of something burning. It was faint. Not like someone forgetting their dinner on the stove, but like a candle that had been left burning for too long. It had to be coming from apartment 27. It was the only one close enough to mine. I talked to Mr. Williams about it. He gave a full belly laugh in response, suggesting I was hearing ghosts, because no one lived in apartment 27. Very confusing, since he mentioned that my unit was the last one available. And that had to mean that apartment 27 was occupied, right?
"Oh, it was the last unit available. Apartment 27 has been vacant for almost 2 years after the owner died. The inspector said it's unsafe to live in because of all the black mold inside."
I was about to protest, but he spoke before me.
"Oh, don't worry, it was fully sealed. Nothing of this bad stuff is getting out."
"Why not just fix the place?" I demanded.
"Well, there's some sort of legal battle happening between his kids, and until then, no one can touch the place."
Mr. Williams then said that I shared a wall with the bathroom from apartment 25, and that was probably where the noises came from. It was plausible enough, but I was still not fully convinced. Spending many years in and out of juvie taught me to always be skeptical and never take things at face value. Something else that I learned there was how to pick a lock in record time. So, when I heard the noises again 4 nights later and confirmed that they seemed to come from apartment 27, I decided to investigate. The door, when it opened, made a small creaking sound that seemed to echo inside the place. To me, that meant the place was probably empty, or had very little furniture. The little I could see seemed to corroborate Mr. Williams' statement about it being abandoned and sealed off. And it smelled like that, too. The air was stale, but at the same time there was a rancid quality to it, like trash forgotten in the corner for too long. Using the flash on my phone as a guide, I scanned the place looking for the supposed black mold, but didn't find any. The place looked dirty, abandoned, and decayed, but nothing that seemed contagious. All the windows had been covered, though, and not with a slab of wood or something removable. No, they were cemented over, and that didn't sit well with me. When I continued to explore, I noticed that, different from my apartment, there was actually a division that appeared to be a small room. Something told me that I should just drop it and get out of there, forget the whole thing, and just go to sleep. But I was never the one to listen to reason anyway. I walked towards the room with unsure steps and opened the door. The first thing I noticed was a new smell. Putrid, gag-inducing, and impossible to ignore. I dropped my phone, desperately trying to cover my nose and mouth, but it didn't work. The stench clung to the back of my throat, and I almost threw up inside my mouth because of it. When I finally recovered and grabbed my phone, the light shone on the corner of the room, and I was confronted with the worst sight I had ever seen. A woman lying on top of a soiled mattress and chained to the wall. I couldn't believe my eyes. It had to be a very vivid nightmare. I just couldn't believe it. Well, it became all the more real when she noticed my presence. She tried to reach out to me, but was so weak that her arms gave up mid-movement. When I crouched close to her, I noticed that she had marks all over her skin. Burn marks. All that time, I had been smelling her skin being burned. Suddenly, I couldn't hold the contents of my stomach for a single second more, and everything spilled out of me with a violent burst. How long had she been there? What kind of monster would do that to someone? The acridness of the bile mixed with the repugnant smells coming from her made for an even more repulsive combination. Please, he'll be back soon. A shiver ran down my spine. There was nothing around that I could use to get her out of the chains. How the hell was I supposed to help her? I couldn't finish my sentence when I heard the creaking echo again. I immediately knew that someone had gotten in. He had gotten in. But what would happen if he found me here? That I had discovered his twisted secret? I knew that I had to get out of there, but there weren't any windows or doors to escape. I couldn't get out from where I came in. He was on the other side. Please, help. She begged me again, but I was too afraid to do anything. He was going to kill me. Or worse, put me in her place and force me to go through that horrendous torture every night. All I cared about was surviving. My eyes landed on the built-in closet, and I moved just as she reached, desperately holding on to me. Her overgrown nails left angry red marks down my arm when I managed to slip away from her grip. In the commotion, my hand slipped on my own vomit, but there wasn't enough time to care about how disgusting it had been. I hid in the closet and waited. When he got inside the bedroom, I could only see bits and pieces of his legs from the small slats of the closet door. But I heard the jangling of keys as he slowly approached her. My mind immediately made the connection. It was the sound I heard every time Mr. Williams was nearby. And sure enough, the man crouched beside her and I could see his face. It was him, my landlord. He stared at her with a perverse smile, playing with her hair as she whimpered in fear. It was impossible for my brain to recognize the kind man who had been nothing but helpful to me as the horrible monster I was staring at. When he took a lighter from his pocket, I knew what was about to happen. It was too much. I couldn't stand it. I closed my eyes just as the smell of burning flesh took over the room. She cried loudly once, but then suddenly stopped. He was saying something to her too, whispering, but I couldn't make out what it was. I didn't want to. With trembling hands, I dialed 911 and put the phone down, hoping that her muffled noises would be loud enough for them to hear. I couldn't say how long I stood there, just watching through the slats as he ran the flame up and down her body. Still, she didn't do anything that would reveal my presence. Even though she had been suffering for so long, she was trying to protect me. I was completely paralyzed by fear, but if she was strong enough to help, I had to do the same. Feeling for something around me, I managed to find what felt like an old, rusty nail. It wasn't too big, but it was long enough for me to put in between my fingers, and it was sharp. I was 2 seconds away from completely losing my resolve when divine intervention came in the form of police sirens echoing nearby. It distracted him enough for me to get out of the closet in a desperate jump. The element of surprise was the only thing I had on my side, and I used it to lunge at him. We fell to the ground in a tangle of limbs. He was so much heavier than me, pinning me to the ground fully with his weight. But I was faster. When he moved one arm to reach for the lighter, I quickly jabbed the sharp end of the nail in between his ribs, over and over again, dragging it across any expanse of skin I could find. He stumbled away from me, clawing, gasping for air. I wasn't going to waste the chance. I grabbed the nail and jammed it on the back of his neck. He made the most horrible gurgling noise, and then he fainted. The police sirens were really loud by then. Yep, they were definitely outside our building. The woman and I stared at each other, terrified and relieved in equal manner. The nightmare was over, and we were both safe. "Are you the previous tenant from apartment 26? I asked. She simply nodded in response.
"Yeah. I'm about to move out myself," she said, and gave me a smile.
Last September, my husband Mike and I moved into a house in the suburbs. He wanted to live closer to his mother Gloria, who was dying of cancer. He had taken a month off from work, and every day he went over to Gloria's house and helped take care of her. Even though Gloria's hospice wasn't that far from our house, I never went. I never even met Gloria. Mike said that she was too sick for me to meet. I felt awful about it, but I honored my husband's wishes. Because I worked online, I ended up staying all day in our new house while Mike was with his mom. I didn't have any friends in the area, so I felt very isolated and alone. One evening, I was home alone when an older woman came to the door. She was very normal looking. At first, I thought she was a neighbor who wanted to invite me to something. But then she said that her name was Gloria. She was Mike's mom. I instantly let her in and offered her some tea. She looked extremely healthy for a woman on her deathbed. We sat at my coffee table and I asked her, "Does Mike know you're here?" If Mike was at Gloria's house right now, did he know that Gloria had wandered all the way over here? I've heard stories about old people that leave their houses without telling anyone and walk to some pretty random places. "Mike has no idea," Gloria said. "I haven't seen him in 7 years." When she said that, I knew that this was some kind of scam. I stood up and told her to leave. She begged for me to let her stay so she could finally see her son again. I told her that I knew she was lying. Then she pulled out her wallet and showed me a photo of her and Mike together. Mike must have been 12 or 13 at the time. When that wasn't enough to convince me, she pulled out 6 more photos, each one showing her and Mike from different time periods. I couldn't believe it. This meant that the woman was telling me the truth, and that Mike had been lying to me about why we moved here and where he went each day. I didn't know how to handle the information, so I told Gloria to leave. She did. When Mike got home, he seemed really stressed. I didn't confront him at first. I just casually asked what he did that day, and he told me that he spent all day taking care of his mother. I knew that was a lie, but I didn't say anything. The next morning, Mike left at his usual time. I waited until he was at the end of the street before I got in my car and followed him. He ended up parking in front of an old house just three streets over. I parked next to some bushes and watched from the car as he approached the house. He knocked on the door, and a beautiful blonde woman answered. They talked for a while on the porch, and then she pulled him inside. Obviously, he was having an affair with this woman. His whole story about taking care of his mother was just an awful lie. I drove back home. That night, I planned to tell him everything, but he didn't come home. I waited for 30 minutes, feeling myself getting angrier by the minute. When he finally called and said that he'd be late, I assumed his secret girlfriend was keeping him busy. I was so mad, but I didn't dare bring it up over the phone. I needed to see his face when I told him that I knew, so instead, I innocently asked him why he was going to be late. He said that his mom had an episode, whatever that meant, and he wasn't sure how long he needed to be there. Fine, I said. Bye. Immediately after I hung up on him, I heard someone walking around in the front yard. I looked through the window and saw a dark figure wandering around the bushes. Hey! I shouted. Go away! The figure stepped out of the shadows and it was Mike's mother again. She walked to the house and looked at me through the window. She apologized for coming back at this time of night, and she asked if I could let her in again. I considered telling her no, but then I thought about how perfect it would be to have Mike's real mother there when I confronted him about his lies. So I opened the door and welcomed her in. She sat on our sofa, instantly making herself comfortable. I asked if she wanted anything, and she just told me to sit next to her. All she wanted was to talk, and she had a lot of questions for me. I sat next to her, and she started to ask me about my relationship with Mike. How did we meet? How long were we together? Were we happy? I answered all of her questions, except for the last one. Then she asked where Mike was right now, and I didn't have the heart to lie to her. Mike was the one cheating. It wasn't my secret to bear. So I told her that Mike was hooking up with another woman and telling me that he was busy taking care of his mother. Gloria jumped to her feet, grabbed her hair, and screamed so loudly I was sure the neighbors heard. She wouldn't stop, so I stood up and tried to give her a hug to calm down. She pushed me back. Then she grabbed a vase and slammed it against the side of her head. It broke against her temple. She picked up one of the jagged shards and pointed it at me like a knife. You're a liar! She screamed. What? My beautiful baby boy would never treat a woman like that! Even though this woman was much smaller and older than me, I did not want to mess with her. She looked crazy enough to do some real damage. As she swiped the broken shard at me, I ran into the bedroom and locked the door. I pulled out my phone and dialed Mike's number. I could hear Gloria scratch into the other side of the door. She screamed at me again, but I couldn't tell what she was saying. Mike answered and asked if he could call me back. It wasn't a good time. No, I said. Your real mother is here and she's gone insane. What? He shouted into the phone. She's at the house? Don't move. Then he hung up. He arrived 5 minutes later. I was still hiding in the bedroom, but I could hear the front door open. I could hear the woman scream at Mike as he calmly tried to talk her down. Then I heard a loud thud and shattering glass. It sounded like she had attacked him too. No matter how angry I was at Mike, I had to help him. I opened the door and saw Mike lying on the floor. Gloria was crouched over him, squeezing his throat with both hands. I ran to pull her off, but then someone else grabbed me from behind. Don't interfere, she said. I turned around and saw the blonde woman, Mike's mistress. Why was she here? Now that I was looking at her up close, I saw that she was older than I thought. She wore a name tag and a stethoscope. She wasn't Mike's mistress at all. She was a nurse. The woman pulled out a syringe and walked toward Gloria. She was going to inject the old woman with some kind of sedative. She tried to grab Gloria's arm, but then Gloria elbowed her in the stomach and she dropped the syringe. I had to help. While Gloria kept strangling Mike, I ran over and grabbed the fallen needle. "In the leg!" Mike screamed. "In the leg!" I injected whatever medicine into Gloria's leg and she instantly flopped onto the ground, asleep. Mike struggled to catch his breath. Then he stood and carefully lowered his mother's unconscious body onto the sofa. He turned toward me. "Now do you understand why I don't let you see my mother?" He explained that he'd been taking care of his mother all this time, but he'd lied to me about her sickness. She didn't have cancer. She had 8 different psychological conditions that led to lying, stealing, and extremely violent behavior. The blonde woman was one of several full-time nurses that took care of her. He said that she'd escaped the day before, which was when I first met her, and then tonight, she escaped again. He had no idea she'd tracked down his new house until I called him. I guess he'd mentioned our address once to his mother and she memorized it. The blonde woman walked over and checked my arm, which had gotten scratched up in the struggle. Then she and Mike carried Gloria back to the car. It's been 6 months now, and Mike has finally moved his mother into a high-security facility. She hasn't escaped from it yet, but I think it's only a matter of time. I know she'll try to come back, but I pray that she never will.
I checked my watch, tapping my feet against the sidewalk with an irritated sigh. He was late. I hoped this wasn't someone trying to swindle me or mess with me. I'd always been funny about buying things off sites like Craigslist, since there were very few regulatory checks into the sellers of the items. I had no idea who I was meeting up with, apart from the slightly blurry picture of a young man. Maybe I should have done more research into who I was buying from before meeting up. At least he suggested a public place, rather than somewhere quiet and secluded. "I'm sorry to keep you waiting," a voice said from behind me. I turned, my gaze falling onto a much more defined version of that profile picture. He was older than I expected, maybe in his early to mid-30s, with close-cropped brown hair. I shrugged. "No, I haven't been waiting long," I lied. 20 minutes was longer than I would have liked to have waited, but there was no point in making a big deal out of it. He was giving me a good deal, after all. "I'm parked just up the street," he explained. "I have the mirror in the car." I furrowed my brow. Why didn't he just bring it with him? Did he expect me to follow him to his car? I glanced around the street. The road was fairly busy at this time of day, and there were a couple people walking around. If he tried anything funny, at least I wouldn't be alone. "Did you drive here?" he asked when I said nothing. I nodded, jerking a thumb to the old Ford behind me. "Yep." He nodded, his eyes roaming over my face more intensely than I would have liked. I subconsciously stepped back, breaking his focus. He cleared his throat. "I can go grab the mirror," he said. "I didn't want you waiting for me any longer. That's all." I stuffed my hands back in my pocket, sighing softly. "No worries, I'll come and get it. It saves you walking all the way back." I knew I shouldn't be so nice, especially after him keeping me waiting, but I wanted to be done with this transaction so I could get back home. Meeting up with strangers like this always made me antsy anyway, especially when they were men. It comes with being a woman, I suppose. He started walking back towards his car, and I walked a little behind, maintaining a good distance between us. He didn't seem the sort to try anything, but you could never really tell. His car was a red pickup with some old carpets rolled up in the back. He noticed my gaze. Doing some renovating. That's why I wanted to get rid of this," he said as he reached back into the seat and pulled out something wrapped in cloth. He peeled it back to show me that it was the mirror that I was expecting. "Perfect," I said, digging my purse out of my pocket. "20, right?" He shook his head. "Knock it down to 15, he said, as an apology for being late. I blinked at him. "Are you sure?" He nodded, offering me a smile. and I'd handed him the money, accepting the mirror in return. Thank you. No problem. Pleasure doing business with you. I merely smiled and said goodbye before turning around and heading back to my car. By the time I glanced back, he already had driven away, which I was thankful for. Didn't have to worry about being followed. I drove back home, relieved that it had gone so smoothly. The last thing I needed was to meet up with some creepy guy, but he seemed all right in the end. When I got home that afternoon, I finally unwrapped the mirror and hung it up on my wall. I'd recently repainted and refurbished my bedroom, and the mirror had been a perfect finishing touch to match the rest of the decor. It looked brand new as well, which was even better. It wasn't till much later in the evening, when I was in bed with the light switched off, that I saw the small blinking light coming from somewhere in my room. It was a reddish hue. At first, I thought it might have been some type of reflection from outside, but my curtains were closed, and it didn't seem like it came from a car or a street lamp. I sat up, reaching for the lamp beside my bed, but as soon as the warm glow spread around the room, the light disappeared. Maybe I'm just imagining it. I switched the light back off, waiting for my eyes to readjust to the dark. There it was again, a faint red light, blinking at me from somewhere in the room. My eyes found it on the opposite wall, and I kept my gaze on it while simultaneously reaching for the light switch. I flicked it on and blinked. I was looking at the mirror, the new one I had just bought earlier this day. Why was there a red light coming from it? Nausea crept from my throat as the realization struck me. There was only one explanation I could think of. A camera. There was a camera in the mirror. That's what the red light was. It was recording, which meant when I got dressed earlier, the camera had recorded everything. The camera and whoever was watching on the other side. That disgusting creep. The light flicked off suddenly, and I shook my head. He must have realized that I figured it out. It didn't matter anyway. There was no way I was keeping this now. I pulled the mirror off the wall and headed downstairs to throw it in the trash. I heard the glass crack as it hit the side of the kitchen bin, but I didn't care. I wasn't having that thing in my house anymore. I was about to head back up to bed when movement in the corner of my eye made me turn around. A scream immediately tore from my throat. Someone was standing outside the kitchen window, looking in. I recognized the face immediately. It was the man who sold me the mirror. What the hell? He followed me here? But I checked. He drove away already. Unless the red light wasn't a camera at all, but a tracking device. He grinned at me through the glass, his dark eyes flashing as he touched the window with his fingers. Panic threw me through my veins. I turned and ran upstairs, fumbling for my phone. I called the police, my hands shaking as I dialed the emergency number and almost dropped the phone when I heard something thump downstairs. Was he in the house? Oh my God. I ran into the bathroom, locking myself in when I relayed my address to the dispatcher, begging for them to hurry up. I hid in the bathroom when I heard the sirens. By the time the police came, the man was nowhere to be found, and the mirror was gone.